Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Ahoy, and welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm the Cap, Mike Kapler, and with me, I've got the guy who once thought the Count of Monte Cristo was a restaurant worker who calculated the total sale of fried ham and cheese sandwiches, Joel Brzezicki. Have you ever ordered from a restaurant a Monte Cristo?
A Monte Crisco?
Monte Cristo.
No, I know what you said.
Well, that brings back memories. Crisco.
Yeah, Crisco and bread sandwich.
Crisco commercials on TV, man. You never see them anymore.
Well, lard. My father-in-law would have lard and just a lard sandwich. You know, lard spread on bread. So Monte Cristo. It seems like I've had that.
Yeah, they're deep fried ham and cheese. And,
yeah.
You
know,
you put other things on them. But
yeah, it's been a long time probably, but I've had those.
Of course, there's the book, The Count of Monte Cristo.
It's easy for you to say. The Count of Monte Cristo. Say that real fast.
It's an old classic. It's a really big book.
I've heard of it.
Yes.
That's about the... It's like Moby Dick. I've heard of it, but I've never read it.
I did read Moby Dick a few years ago.
Did you?
So every once in a while, I think, you know, I keep hearing about this book. I've heard about it all my life, and I never read the thing. So, like, for example, I did download for free on a Kindle The Count of Monte Cristo. And
did it taste good?
It's a big book.
Was it a big sandwich?
I'd rather eat the sandwich than read the book.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Hey, we were talking last week from Easter Sunday about what did Jesus accomplish for the Jewish people, number one, and the rest of the world, number two. And what did some of that mean for us today, which is what we want to get into a little bit more, I think, you know, because based on our conversation last week and really, really our conversation over the last 20 plus years, we are not under the Mosaic law. None of it. It all had to come to an end because it could not give people what they needed. And it was never for us who were outside of the Jewish nation. It was never for us. And so Jesus came, he saw, he conquered. And he has brought us to a place of perfection as now righteous, holy children of God who have received an eternal redemption. Eternal. And he did it all. He brought it to us. You and I can do nothing to maintain this thing. But some people might be wondering, okay, I get it. It's not by works, it's by grace through faith. Okay. I used to hear this in church all the time, but they always seem to mix in works. They always seem to kind of make me wonder where I really stood with God and those kinds of things. And so now, how do we move forward here? I mean, what's my motivation? Because, you know, sometimes grace would at least get mixed in a little bit in the church sermon or the church doctrines or whatever, but boy, a lot of it was still based upon what do I have to do? What do I have to do to keep my faith alive? The faith that saves. How do I keep that alive? How do I keep the heartbeat pumping on that thing? Well, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, what does that look like? What does it mean? I now sit back with my arms crossed and wait for Joel's dissertation to enlighten all of us.
I don't know.
Which way did he go?
I don't know, man. I was going to have you carry this whole podcast because what do I know? Because, you know.
How are you going to learn if I carry the ball all the time?
I'm learning from the master, Mike Kapler. But if we're not under the law, then how do we live? How do we behave? We need the law, don't we? Yeah, that's what a lot of people think. You know, when we talk about how we're not under the law, we don't need the law, we're not meant to have the law. As Gentiles, we never had the law. The Jews were redeemed from the law so that they could be free, so that they could be joined to Christ. Look at Romans 14 and all these other things where Paul says, "You brethren, they were freed from the law so that they could bear fruit to God." But what does even that mean? You know, bear fruit. I mean, a lot of people always think that everything in this Christian life, in our life in Christ, has to do with behavior, and so everything comes back to behavior and stopping sinning and doing what is right. And I'm not saying, and we're not saying that, okay, you should just go out and sin. Sin is good. Sin doesn't matter. You know, we're not saying that. And we're not saying that behavior doesn't matter. But being not under the law and having been made alive with Christ, Ephesians 2, the very first verse, so it starts out there, "In you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So he made us alive. And the way that he made us alive, if you continue to read, and I read some of Ephesians 2 last week, from 11 to maybe around 15 or 16, but he made us alive in him by doing away with the law. The law that the Jews were under, the law that they were under, he did away with that. It was abolished in Christ's flesh, it says. He did away with that, and he made us alive. And so now this new life that we have in him, it's not based upon law, because that law was done away with. And so this new way is what the writer of Hebrews calls a new and living way. The way of the law, Paul calls it death and condemnation. It was a ministry of death and a ministry of condemnation. It was bondage, and through it, sin increased. And sin revived, and it was the strength of sin. But now we have a new and living way. And the way that this, I don't know, how do you say it? Not the way that it works, but the way that we live in this new and living way is not by focusing on behavior. It may very well affect our behavior. It may very well affect the things that we do. But this way of life in Christ isn't about focusing on trying to bear fruit. It isn't based upon, focusing on trying to behave right. Again, we're not saying that good fruit is bad. We're not saying that good behavior is bad. Good behavior is good, of course. But this life in Christ is, and I don't know, there's all kinds of ways to look at it, but part of it is living with our confidence in him, in Christ, and what he has accomplished, and not in what we can accomplish for him. Has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with a focus on behavior or works or fruit or anything like that. But it's a walking in step with the Holy Spirit, so to speak. I think one version of the Bible, maybe it's the NIV, talks about walking in step with the Spirit. I can't remember which version it says that, but are you tracking with what I'm saying, Cap, or do you think that there's another way to put it?
I think there's a lot of ways to put it. I don't think any of us have cornered the market on understanding what it really means to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. But, you know, the Jewish people, they were out there trying to bear fruit. Paul put it this way, and he's talking to, you know, people who understood the law here in Romans chapter 7. "When we were in the flesh," he says, "the sinful passions which were aroused by the law," sinful passions aroused by the law when we were in the flesh, "they were at work in our members to bear fruit to death." So here you are trying to work at trying to become something righteous, and it bore fruit to death. "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not the oldness of the letter." And then he goes on to say, you know, and he uses the example of "you shall not covet" in Romans 7. So there's this commandment, I'm going to try not to covet. And what did Paul say? it caused him all kinds of desire to covet. Mm-hmm. Trying not to covet resulted in more coveting. And so that's not walking in the Spirit, you know, just trying to do the right things. And then when we get into Galatians chapter 5, which I think is a pretty powerful chapter on this subject, the fruit of the Spirit that Paul refers to, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there's, I think, 9 things listed there: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against such things there is no law. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, we live in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? How is that different from just trying to do good and behave properly? And that's, you know, where it gets a little muddy for some to try and wrap their minds around that, because they've been taught, in many ways, they've been trained to try to do what is good and right and focus on behavior, because that's their motivation now. This is what they need to do to try to either maintain their salvation, maintain their righteousness, maintain blessings with God, and that kind of thing. But it's not like that. If Paul said, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And he talks about the works of the flesh. And you can think about sinful things that aren't so good. But before Galatians chapter 5, he kind of harassed the Galatians a little bit, chastised them a little bit, because he had brought them into a place where they had received the Spirit by grace through faith. And yet these Judaizers come along, people who may have been saved, but still were clinging to at least portions of the law, if not all of it, and they were trying to get the Galatians, who were Gentiles, to do some of the same. And so Paul kind of got on them in the first part of Galatians chapter 3 and said, are you being perfected by the flesh? How did you receive the Spirit? Did you work for it? So now are you being perfected by the flesh? In other words, are you being perfected by what you do in the flesh? And so it can be kind of a double-edged sword when it comes to the flesh. You can fall into things that are not good and are evil, and then you can fall into things that look good, but they bear fruit for death. And so the fruit of the Spirit, Joel, is not a to-do list.
Right.
It's really His fruit. We don't produce the fruit. We're not able to produce righteousness, as one writer in the New Testament alluded to. We're not able to do that. The wrath of God does not produce His righteousness, or I should say the anger towards others does not produce the righteousness of God. We're not able to produce righteousness. We're not able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. He does that. He works through us with that. We bear it as a branch from the vine, but we're not the doer of the fruit. We're just a vessel for God to live through and for us to live in Him in the process. And so once we can kind of put that aside, I think once we understand our identity as perfect, righteous people, that's who God has made us to be through the gift of an inheritance, then we can just live our lives. And I think walking in the Spirit, I think it happens a lot of times. It's not some sort of, you know, some sort of supernatural,
supernatural.
I feel so holy kind of thing. Just live your life, and God will walk beside you every step of the way, through the good, through the bad. There's plenty of bad in this fallen world, but He will not let you go. I remember doing lunch one time, Joel, I'll hand this back to you, but I remember doing lunch many years ago with a pastor friend of mine. And I know he understood that I was diving headlong into this grace thing, and he believed in grace too, but, you know, I think he was still feeling like there needed to be a balance, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I talked about how nothing can separate us from the love of God, he kind of interrupted me and said, from the love of God, implying you can still be separated from God. Mm. I said, well, who do you think God is? God is love. His love for us is the new motivation. It's not about trying to do to become something, but because we become something, right?
Yeah, because we already are something in Christ. He's he has already made us a new creation. We are that new creation. We're not trying to do stuff to become that. And our confidence is not in the things that we do. Our confidence isn't even in being in him and then going out and doing stuff. That's good. Doing is not a bad thing. But the bottom line is that our confidence is in Christ, not in what we do, not in what we're doing. People have said, well, how do you live this Christian life? Well, it's not a how. The answer is not a how. It's a who, with a capital W, W-H-O, Christ. It's a person. Christ himself is our life, not our doing. Our doing is not our life. You know, if we get focused on doing, then if we feel we're doing well, then we'll have confidence in what we do, and we'll miss Christ and confidence in him. And it's kind of the same the other way around, too. If we feel we're not doing well, we'll lose confidence in ourselves and miss the confidence that we have in him. I think a lot of people think that, you know, because the law was there, it's there in the Bible, and then they hear, well, the law was a shadow. It was a shadow of Christ, and Christ is the substance. And they may even get that far in their understanding, but they tend to think that, okay, so now that in Christ, the substance, it's Christ is the substance of us doing all that stuff. but it's that's not it. The old covenant laws and statutes and all of that stuff, you know, they were a type and a shadow of Christ, not, they weren't a type and a shadow of what we are to do. That's hard for some people to understand. Christ himself, the person, is the substance, not a way of doing, not a way of how to do this or how to do that, what to do, what not to do. Jesus Christ himself, the law was a shadow, but it's been done away with in favor of the person Jesus Christ. So if we're looking for, and again, it's you know, people can take this wrong, or else it's hard for us to grasp, I think, because we're so focused on doing. If you go into a lot of churches, the sermons, it's all based upon trying to get people to do stuff. That's just what a lot of it is. And when we say that, you know, we're not, again, I can repeat this over and over again, we're not saying that doing is bad, but the focus is Christ, the person, not a lifestyle, not a way of life, not a way of doing things. If you focus on that, your confidence, again, is going to get away from Christ, and it's going to be in what you're trying to do for him. So I think if you do, you know, walk in the Spirit, as we were talking about, it's not, well, Holy Spirit, what do I do? How do I behave righteously? That's not it. It's just, I think you said it well, and I wrote it down somewhere here. I was taking some notes. I was taking notes as I sat under the master, Mike Kepler. But you said something, just live your life. And, you know, I've said this before, too. Just get up and live. It can really be that simple.
Because Christ is our life. Because like Christ, what you were, yes, just talking about, Christ is the covenant. I mean, it's all based on the person.
Right. And yeah, we're going to, as human beings, it's this focus or this, it's getting up and doing things, just getting up and being, you know, who we are. There's going to be fluctuations in our behavior. You know, let's put it that way. You know, but again, it's not about that. It's about getting up, realizing that Christ is our life. God is at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Whether you understand it or not, whether you see the effects of it or not, he is, and he is our life. And it's not based on a feeling. It's not based upon trying to, you know, do certain things and be a certain way, but letting our focus be simply on Christ, the person who lives in us and who we live in.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.